Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
Praise you, Lord. This morning I saw a picture in my spirit, and it was a town that had been devastated by a tornado, and there was really nothing left. And as you looked in the distance, you saw people starting to come out from the little shelters in the ground. And as a latch came up and they looked around, many of the reports were, this land will never be reestablished again. These towns will never be built again. It's devastation. It's wrecked. The damage is too great. The disaster is too large. The grass will never grow again. So maybe the storm has passed, but everything's devastated now. And then I saw on a few, the Spirit of the Lord came in and inspired them and gave them a little bit of a different spirit and a different declaration. And for those ones, they said this, the grass will grow again, the buildings will be restored, and life will happen again, because God is the restorer. And everything that the storm has taken, God will come in and reestablish His people. Now, some of us have gone through some rough times, but I want to tell you, the word of the Lord today is, the storm is gone, and I'm calling you to be people of faith. People of excitement to say, I will build again. Yes. And what the Lord builds, no man can take away.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Come on, Pastor John. I know God's given Pastor John a word. I'll just say this too about that prophecy as we were worshiping the Lord. Because the question is, well, why does something break? And God will sometimes break and take away something we don't need anymore. He'll break a mold that just doesn't produce what He wants, and He'll give us something new. So receive the new.
Amen. For the Lord says, do not be afraid, for I have chosen you, and I have slipped my ring on your finger. But just not on your finger. I have put my spirit in your heart.
Yes, God.
And my spirit, like a circle, is encircling your heart. And you will no longer be lost. You will no longer need to fear. You will no longer be terrified.
Yes, God.
For the Lord is with you. And the Lord has sealed you from now to forever.
Hallelujah.
Says our God.
Hallelujah.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
We're in this series on recentering, and this is our focus in the Word of God this morning. It began a few weeks ago as I shared on the last Sunday of 2013 about how I believe the Lord is calling us to start our new year, which is to get recentered. And we've talked about putting Jesus as the center of our lives and having that working right. The cross in the center of our sanctuary is a reminder of this message, and I hope it'll just speak to you. As well, you can get a wristband. I mean, we've got red wristbands now by the hundreds people are wearing. You can get one at the end of the service, and it says recenter. It says no, connect, serve. And when I see this thing, and I don't take it off, I leave it on because, it's so expensive, I just wouldn't want to lose it. But I have it to remind me, and actually it's working very well, to remind me to keep Jesus as the center of my day. And it's a gimmick, but man, it's the right message. Let's get recentered in the Lord. Amen? Now today I want to take this just a little step further and talk about recentering on the gospel. Recentering on the gospel. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 is our scripture, and I'm going to read it to you, and then I want all of us to read it out loud together. It said, this is the Message translation of the words of the Apostle Paul. He says, we work from this focused center. One man died for everyone. He included everyone in his death so that everyone could be included in his life, a resurrection life, a far better life than people ever lived on their own. Can we read this text together? Let's read. We work from this focused center. One man died for everyone. Everyone now. He included everyone in his death so that everyone could also be included in his life. A resurrection life, a far better life than people ever lived. What does that scripture mean? What Paul is saying here is that his ministry has a center. That there's an organizing principle, there's a center for everything that he's working on, and that is the message that Jesus died and rose again so that people could live in freedom and peace and wholeness. So in effect, if you allow me to put words in his mouth, he's saying, Jesus is my center, and the gospel is the center of my message. The gospel is the center of my ministry. And that makes so much sense. Now, maybe an illustration would help drive this home for every one of us and make it real for our practical day-to-day lives. What does this mean for us? I want you to use your sanctified imagination and see a picture of a deserted island. You're stepping onto a deserted island, imagine, and you have a map clenched in your hand. Right? You check the map and you notice that every detail is clearly laid out for your search. And you get excited. Hope starts to rise up in your heart because you see that red X marks the spot. And you know that there is treasure at the end of this journey. And you're going to get the treasure because you have a map. So following the map, you push through the jungle, across a river, and around the bend, past the rocky outcliffs to the spot marked X. Following your map, you make your way to the waterfall. And you push through the watery curtain of that waterfall, and you step into a cave that's hidden behind that waterfall. And it's dark in there, so you reach in your pocket and you pull out your flashlight, and you turn it on, and your beam immediately finds a treasure chest that's right in front of you, which you soon have open. And when you look inside that treasure chest, you can see gems and pearls and gold, and your heart is excited because you have found the treasure. But not only that, you pull your flashlight out and you just start to look around the whole inside of the cave, and that's when it really hits you. It's not just one chest, but it is chest after chest. It is pile after pile of gold coins and gems and jewels, wealth like you cannot imagine, wealth that you can never spend, even if you spent like crazy for the rest of your life. It would take the rest of your life just to count the wealth. And it is all yours. The map has done its job. It has brought you safely to the X marks the spot. And now you have riches like you cannot imagine. How many would like to go on a trip just like that? I'm ready to leave right now. Let's go. Let's go to the beach. Let's just get out there and find that treasure, right? That is awesome. Now, I want to do something a little bit different today. I'm going to give you my message in a nutshell this way. And here's what I want to say to us today in this message. My message is, if we're going to find the treasure, we need to follow the map. If we're going to find the riches and the treasure, we've got to have the map. So, what is the treasure? That's the first question we have to answer. What is the treasure? A lot of people are looking for something. They're looking for something of value in their life. I think that's a picture of every one of us, just kind of wanting to find something valuable. Many people think that the most valuable thing you can find in life is money. So they gear their whole life toward acquiring wealth. Other people think that the most valuable thing you can have is your health or maybe beauty. In this culture, that's especially important. And, you know, we all want to be beautiful people. And so we work our lives, you know, to make sure we have all the potions and lotions. Other people think fame is the most important thing or power. What is the treasure? I want to say to us that based on the word of God, I have an answer to that question. The answer is, Jesus is the treasure that we are seeking. We're looking in all the wrong places for all the wrong things. And according to the scripture, the greatest treasure that we could ever find in our lives is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 2. The translation is called God's Word Translation, and it's the words of the Apostle Paul, and he says, I work so that they may be encouraged by all the what? Riches that come from a complete understanding of Christ. He is the mystery of God. God has hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge where? In Christ. So Jesus is the treasure. Everything that we need in life is in him. We're not going to find, we may find temporary satisfaction in wealth or fame or something like that, but ultimately those things are going to fail us. That doesn't get us across the finish line. Jesus is the finish line. He's the center of it all. He's the source of blessing. He's the answer to every problem. Don't shout me down now. Amen. He's the answer to every problem. He's the supply for every need. A man is not rich because he has money. A man is rich because he has found the source of it all. Amen. And Jesus is the source of it all. You can have it all, you know, according to the world's standard. You can have the look and you can have the money and the cars and all of that, but you can be bankrupt inside. Amen. I can tell you about a time in my life where I was bankrupt inside. I wasn't okay. I was broken on the inside. And Jesus came and made me wealthy with his joy and with his salvation. He is the treasure and we need to seek him. Now look at what he said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. The New Living Translation, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a what?
Treasure.
A treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything that he owned to get enough money to own that field, to buy that field so he could have the treasure. I love this because what Jesus is really saying is, this is very important. He's saying you have to give your all to find the treasure.
Amen.
This is not a casual occupation. This is not a side pursuit. This is not one of many things you like to get done in your life. Jesus is saying if you find a treasure, you get rid of everything else. If you have to, you cash in everything else that you have and you buy that field so that you have the right to that treasure and that once you have it all. This is what Jesus is saying, is a picture of us basically as treasure hunters in life. People that are smart enough to know what to let go of and what they really need and what they can hold on to and count on in their life. You know, I'm a movie guy. I'm not ashamed to say that. I went to a movie yesterday, but one of the most exciting movies I've ever seen in my life is Raiders of the Lost Ark with Indiana Jones. And the first 10 minutes of that first Raiders Indiana Jones movies has got to be some of the best movie making ever, because Indiana Jones, he's a treasure hunter and he's pushing through, you know, all those deadly traps and booby traps and all these things, and he's on a quest. He's a man on a mission. He is doing everything he can to get this golden treasure, this artifact that he must have, and his commitment is amazing. He finally finds what he's looking for, right? He's got past all those booby traps and everything else, and he carefully swaps it out. He knows it's a booby trap, so he carefully swaps out the golden head for a rock, you know, and he thinks, I'm safe now. And then you hear, and then you see the sound of this gigantic boulder. You guys remember this scene in the movie? This gigantic boulder starts rolling toward him, and he has to book it. He's got to put that thing under his arm like a football, and he's got to run and try to save his life because he's risked everything to find this treasure. This is really what Jesus is saying. If you could say it this way, Jesus is saying, be an Indiana Jones. Put your life on the line knowing that you can find and get the treasure that is available for you.
Amen.
You know, go for it. Mm-hmm. You know, put some skin in the game. Put some life into this quest and this desire that you have to have what your soul is hungry for and what you need. Now, I want to add something to this, that not only are we treasure seekers, but I want to add the importance of prayer in this issue. Because prayer is something that Paul believes has the power to bring us into life's treasures. Ephesians chapter 1, check this out. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. He said, I pray. Everyone say pray. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance and his incomparably great power for us to believe. Now, so here's the picture. He says, believers, you Ephesian believers, you have the wealth because you have Christ, but I'm praying that you will connect with it. I'm praying that you will understand it, that you will realize what is in your pockets, because you are walking around, you are behaving and living like people that don't have the riches, but God has already given you the riches. Amen. Listen, there's a message for us in this message this morning. A lot of people are looking at Jesus, and they're looking at their faith, and they're looking at life kind of like, you know, I don't have everything that I need. I don't know. Something's wrong. It's not working for me. You know, I'm not healed. I don't have this. I don't think there really is much to this. And what Paul is saying is, no, you have it if you have Christ.
Amen.
But I'm praying. See, through the process of prayer, I'm praying that you will wake up and begin to connect with what Christ has already given to you. If you have Jesus, you have it all. And prayer is how you enter into God's presence. Prayer is how you come into the cave and begin to connect with it and begin to own all the things that are yours in Christ. Another way of saying it is like this. Prayer connects us with the treasures of Christ. That's why Jesus taught us how to pray. That's why he said, my church shall be a house of prayer. Because he knows that when people begin to pray, that they start entering into the inheritance that God has for them. I wish it was just a matter of faith that we just say, boom, I believe it, so therefore I have it. But Paul said when he wanted the church at Ephesus to really connect with the riches, he said, I'm praying that you'll come into that. And it really makes sense. This really unlocks for us. You know, every January in our church, we set aside the whole month and we have times of prayer. We have our normal all-church prayer meeting on Saturday, but we add Wednesday night, and like tonight we're having Fresh Fire. Why are we doing all this? Why are we having extra time in God's presence? Because we're going for it. We want to connect. We want to sell everything we have and connect with the treasure that is in the field. And that treasure is Christ. We want to receive all that he has for us. Prayer is a way to do that. Spiritual appetite, having a heart for God and a hunger and doing something, you know, moving with your passion, moving out and trying something new is so important. Proverbs chapter 2 says this. Cry out for insight. Let me ask you this. When was the last time you lifted up your voice and said, God, give me the answer for my children. God, give me the answer for this depression. I cry out for it, Lord. I lift up my voice. He said, cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would seek silver and seek for them like hidden treasures. It's yours. But the reason you don't have total possession of it, the reason you don't have total mastery of it, is you've got to enter into a hunger and a process of seeking and prayer to receive all that God has for you. Yeah. You've got to push through the waterfall.
All right.
You've got to push past the veil that hides the treasure from you. You've got to push through the resistance and get to that place where you can say, it's mine. I have found X marks the spot. I found this thing. The Holy Spirit has helped me, and I am connecting with this. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus is the treasure. Seek him. Seek him with all your heart. Sell anything you have to sell.
Amen.
That you could invest and arrange yourself to possess everything that he has for you. He's the treasure. But there's another important question that we have to ask today. Jesus is the treasure, but what's the map? How do we get a hold of one of these maps? Where is it? Because treasure's no good unless we can find it. And so we need a map. So what is it that will lead us to the riches of Jesus? And this is where I want to make a surprising statement. Now, it might sound true at first. I want this to really sink in. The gospel is the map that leads us to Jesus.
Amen.
The gospel is the map that leads us to Jesus. A few weeks ago, I was asked a very important question. Pastor David, what is the most important thing in the church? I hear you talk a lot about justice. Is that the most important thing? I hear you talk a lot about prayer. What about prayer? I mean, is that the most important thing in the church? Here in our church, we talk a lot about generations and everything we have to do to reach young people because the harvest is young. Is that the most important thing in the church? Spiritual warfare? You wrote a book on apostolic ministry. Is the apostolic the most important thing in the church? All those things are important things in the church, but none of them is the most important thing in the church. The most important thing in the church is the gospel. The message that gets people, the message that brings people that are lost to the X marks the spot. That there is nothing. And you say, but what about justice? Well, there's no hope of justice unless people come to Christ.
Right.
You say, well, what about prayer? I mean, prayer is important. There is no hope that our prayer will be answered except that Jesus has died on a cross and that we would be redeemed and that we would have standing before him and be able to enter into the courtroom of heaven.
Amen.
Because we're his son, we're his daughter. What about compassion? What about missions? There is no hope of compassion. Our compassion is just helping people that are hungry, and there will always be people that are hungry. The problem doesn't get solved until people find Christ.
Amen.
Bread is not the answer.
That's right.
And I fear for where some churches are going in this confusing hour. Because the focus is not central on the gospel.
Amen.
It's like the gospel is just for, you know, baby Christians. You know, you don't need the gospel. Don't talk about Jesus. You could hear a whole message in some conferences and some environments, and you would never hear the word cross, and you would never hear the name Jesus.
Right.
It's all about all kinds of wild things and things that are in the Bible, but it never connects. So that if I was a lost person, I would have no clue about how to find X marks the spot.
Right.
Spiritual warfare is great, and I practice it, and I teach it. And the apostolic and prophetic is great, and I'm a conference speaker on those subjects. But we must connect it to the gospel.
Yes.
Because Jesus is the treasure.
That's it.
But the gospel is what gets us to the treasure. How many understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
So the most important thing in the church is the gospel. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. God didn't send me. This is Paul the Apostle. He said, God didn't send me to preach with a lot of fancy rhetoric on my own, lest the powerful action at the what? Center, the Message translation says, which is Christ on the cross, lest that powerful message be trivialized. What he's saying is quit talking about all these crazy, he says, connect it to the action at the center. This is the message. This is what we're all about. It's Christ.
Hallelujah.
One man died.
Yes.
So that all men could resurrect with him and have a life that they never dreamed possible. And after that is established, and once that is connected, then we can talk about so many things, always connecting it back to the gospel. The gospel is the center.
Yes.
Look what Paul said. Ministers, pastors, leaders, look what he said. Ephesians 3, I became a servant of this gospel. What do I serve? What's my master? I'm not serving a message about this or that. He said, I don't serve the people. I don't serve the organization. I'm a servant of the message of the gospel. This is why I get up in the morning, is to communicate this message. For it is, he says, according to the gift of God's grace, to proclaim to the Gentiles the what? The unfathomable riches of Christ. Here's my message. Jesus is the treasure. The gospel is the map. Don't go off the map. Stay on the map.
Amen.
Don't forget where X marks the spot is. So then what is the gospel becomes a question. What is it? I think we know, but let's review. The word gospel means good news. Everyone say good news. Now in some environments, the gospel is bad news. It's something we're ashamed of. It's something we don't want to talk about. It's something that we don't want to say to somebody. You would think that the gospel is bad news according to some models of reaching people. But the gospel is good news. The good news that Jesus died to pay the price for our sin so that we could become the children of God, right? Through faith. The gospel is two things, if it's anything. First, it's a path to God's saving power. Paul the Apostle said in Romans 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to what, church? To salvation. To who? So, in order to be saved, you've got to believe, and in order to believe, you've got to hear the gospel.
Amen.
Right? So let's not be ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed to say that we're Christians, are we? We're not ashamed to say that mankind has fallen into sin. That might sound like a fairy tale to some people in our culture, in our country, but it's the word of God. It's the truth, and I'm not ashamed of it. People are fallen. This world is broken. The reason children are being sold for sex is that we live in a sick and broken world. That's reality. That's the explanation. We're in trouble. We're not good. We're broken. But God loves us. And he will cleanse us and he will save us. And the price has been paid for that by Jesus on the cross. I'm not ashamed of that message. I want to make that the center of my existence, the center of my message. It's a path to God's saving power, but also the gospel is a plan for all of life's problems. And this is where some people in the Deeper Life Club want to jump off the train. They want to jump off the train if you say the gospel is a center. No. We want to talk about all the Old Testament meanings and types and shadows, and we want to talk about revivals and visitations and moods and feelings and atmospheres and all of those things that are good. But don't talk to us about the gospel. But here's the thing. The gospel is not just something that you start with and then throw away. It's a plan for all of your problems in life.
Amen.
That same gospel that saved you will save your family. It'll save your marriage. The gospel isn't just a ticket into heaven. The gospel is your plan for living. Look what Paul said, Romans 1:17, the next verse. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. It's the whole thing, right? And then just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. You're going to live by the gospel. You're going to live by what is being presented here. So, for example, if I ask you the question and I say, do you think the gospel can save a broken family?
Yes.
Then the answer would be yes. Why? Why? Because if everyone in the family understands that they're broken sinners and that they need a Savior and that Jesus is the treasure and that if they follow the map, they're going to get to the treasure, that family can be healed.
Amen.
And the same thing will work for your business. The same thing will work for your whatever area of life that you have. God has an answer in Christ for you.
Yes.
Don't look always to psychology and don't look always to all these other answers. Somewhere in the gospel is God's answer for you from first to last and all of your life.
Amen.
So it's not something you ever graduate from or that becomes elementary. It's something that you keep with us. You never grow past Jesus and the cross.
Amen.
It's going to be your answer in spiritual warfare. It's going to be your answer in prayer. It's going to be your answer in every area of your life. So it's not just a map to salvation. It's God's solution to your problems.
Yes.
This is why I'm impassioned this month to recenter us and get us on the right centers. Forgive me, camera guys, but I got to come over here to this cross. We put this cross up in the center of the auditorium. I said to Pastor Chip, I want to put a cross in the center this month. I want to connect with people. I want them to see what I'm talking about, that our church has got to have a center.
Amen.
And that prophecy, as great as, and I prophesy, but that prophecy is not our center. I believe in deliverance, and we get people free, and we cast out devils and all of that, and that's important, especially if you have a devil. But that's not what we're going to build this church on. This is not going to be the first church of the devil caster outers. I believe in prayer. I believe in so many things, but none of them is the center. You're looking at the center right here. We've got a message for San Jose, and we're jumping all over this trafficking thing. But trafficking is not the center of our church. You say, well, we got to get everybody praying and fasting for so-and-so who's got such and such cancer or this or that. That is not the center of our church.
Right.
A person's need is not the center. Well, what about Sister So-and-so? She doesn't like this kind of music, and we got to get this kind of music. That is not the center.
Right.
Well, you know, we have to make a place for people of all colors. I believe that.
Yes.
But there ain't no color that's the middle of this church. Not white.
Right.
Not black. The center color of this church is cross-colored. We're not making culture. We're not making theology. We're not making revival the center. We're not making feelings and moods the center. We're not making psychology the center. We're not making young people the center. We're not making old people the center. We're making Jesus the center. And when Jesus is the center, and the gospel is our message, we can add all these other things and bring it together beautifully. I mean, to see a multicultural church, to see a church where tongues and prophecy and revival is there, where you can get a devil cast out of you if you need it, or you can get a youth, you can get your kid involved in the youth group. All those things, everything has its place. But here's my definition of apostolic, and I said this to Robert Henderson last week. He said, how do you see the, you wrote a book on the apostolic, how do you see it? Here's what the apostolic is. The apostolic is when everything that God has for his people is in its proper place.
Amen.
So our message is not this flavor or that flavor. It's 31 flavors.
All right.
All under the same roof. And you can have it all because everything is in its proper place. But there will only be one center.
Amen.
And Jesus is the center.
Amen.
Jesus is the riches.
Yes.
This is what I want to sing about. I want to sing about Jesus. I don't want to sing about revival. I want to sing about Jesus. I want to sing about what God does for people.
Yes.
That's what the world is starving for. Now in the Deeper Life Club, you can sing whatever song you want. But I'm going to sing. I want to sing about Jesus. I want to talk to Jesus in prayer. I don't want to spend all my time in prayer talking to the devil.
All right.
If the devil is the center of your prayer life, you got the wrong center.
Right.
Everything is discerning what the devil is doing. Let me tell you, what Jesus is doing is way better than what the devil is doing. It's way more. Did I offend you?
No.
Well, then I'm probably not doing my job. And this is where it gets practical, and I'm closing this message right. This is where it gets practical for us is, what are we believing in? What are we giving in? I want to say this. On this bracelet I wear and in these messages I'm sharing are three words, know, connect, and serve. I want us to know Jesus. I want us to connect in relationship with Jesus. I want us to serve Jesus. That's the first level. But when it comes to the gospel, I want us to know the gospel. I want us to connect with the gospel. I mean, it's got to, I want every person in our church to understand the gospel and say yes to the gospel. And then I want us to serve the gospel. This is what our church is for. Our church is not just to have prayer. Although prayer is so important. Our church is not just to sing. Singing is important. But Jesus is the center. We want to know him. We want to connect with him. We want to serve him. And if you're not involved, if you're not serving, then I don't know what to tell you. I don't want you to serve Nicole or serve me or serve Mike or serve Gary or John. I want you to serve Jesus. Amen. I want you to serve Jesus. I want you to see ushering and youth work and drum playing and teaching children. I want you to see that as you and Jesus connecting. Not you in duty or you in religion, because it's all about him. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
All right, I'm finishing. Jesus is the treasure. The gospel is the map. We work from this focused center. One man died for all so that all could have a life. Have you got the map? How many have the map? Have you got it? You get it? If you got the map, you can find the treasure. How many want to find the treasure in life? Could you stand with me and let's have prayer together? I'm asking for the Holy Spirit to break a few molds here today. I'm asking for God to destroy some sacred cows here. Mostly mine. I read a book one time said, sacred cows make great burgers. I saw a great bumper sticker yesterday. You know, usually they have, on the back of cars, they have these little stick families, you know, a daddy, a mommy, and three little children or something, like little stick figures. This one was a dinosaur eating a stick family. And it said, your stick family tasted delicious to my dinosaur. Anyway, that has absolutely nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. Nothing to do with our message, nothing to do with the gospel. But it was funny, huh? God wants to break some molds. He wants to destroy some things so he can build new things in us. And I'm not sure, maybe 2013 was a year where you lost some things. I wonder if you could just see that maybe that God has taken some things away so he could give you something better. Come into a new mold that God has for you. Come into a new thing and let him take the old if that's what he wants. Because the bottom line is, we just want the treasure. We don't want the mold. Lift your hands, everybody. Lord, I pray for your people. I pray for a grace to be released upon us today where the treasure would just be imparted afresh to us in our minds and our hearts. Let us know it and connect with it and see it and get it. Lord, I pray for anyone in this room that doesn't know that salvation of Jesus Christ. They haven't come to you. Lord, release grace to them right now. Let today be the day that they say yes. And Lord, for pastors, for leaders, for ministers, for workers in this church, help us to remember why we're doing what we're doing. Why we're doing what we're doing. Let the gospel come back to the center of our focus, Lord. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to just invite our prayer teams forward. There's always people here at the end of the service. If you need any special prayer or if you want to talk to somebody about issues of eternal life and how to know and have assurance that you're saved and forgiven, we're here for you because your life is very important. We love you very much. I want to say a prayer with all of you before we are dismissed to go watch the last 10 minutes of the game. Let's say this prayer, can we? Father God, thank you that the riches of Christ are mine in 2014. I want Jesus to be the center of my life, and I believe the message of the gospel. Today, I commit to seeking, knowing, connecting, and serving Jesus as never before in Christ's name. Or another way of saying it would be, Jesus. It all. Come on, sing with me just for a minute.
Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus at the center. Jesus,
nothing else matters.
Come on. Nothing else.
Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around.
Center of it all.
Amen. That's our message. That's our heart. I pray you wake up tomorrow morning singing that song. Live in the grace of it and the joy of it, because you're saved and you've got the riches of Christ right in your pocket. Amen. I love each and every one of you. You're dismissed. Now, if you want to get one of these wristbands, you can. Don't forget the justice table in the lobby. Check that out and connect with that, and I'll see you tonight for Fresh Fire.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.